tell us, first of all, what's the difference between cybersecurity and software assurance?
Actually, software assurance is something that enables cybersecurity. There's many things that we do in cybersecurity that deal all the way from what you do just as an individual to what manufacturers should be doing, practicing for their products, what we refer to as just good cyber hygiene. And software assurance is specifically delving into the aspects of software security and resiliency. And so what we focus on are the processes and practices for helping to enable that. We spend a lot of our efforts, and I would say from the federal government perspective, on investing in those things that allow us to automate security and measurement so that we better understand what we're doing. And we also focus a lot on the education and training, so enable the right skill set of people to be able to come in.
So that's where it starts then, with the education and training, so you can grow your own.
Correct. And we've recently produced, through our software assurance curriculum project, a master's of software assurance, which any university or even academic institutions can pick that material up. It's free, available online. We actually even provide assistance for any university or academic institution who wants to integrate that into their existing curriculum. So we have both graduate level courseware, we have the undergraduate outlines, we even have a community college report of how you can get that into it. We've also been working with organizations such as ISC Square and others who have actually developed training and certification programs along this. In particular, ISC Square has developed the Certified Secure Software Lifecycle Professional, the CSSLP. And so that's just an example of one of the organizations that have taken this and helped develop the skill sets by offering the material.
Now, federal agencies have said they need to hire thousands of cyber professionals. I think the Air Force is looking for 1,000, and different agencies are all doing this. And you're one of those people that's looking to bring more people into the government. Do these certifications and this kind of training give someone an edge looking for a job in cyber in the federal government?
They do, because it provides a filter. Now, you have to understand, there is no one course or a silver bullet that says this person knows exactly how to do all the things. And I will give examples of others. SANS Institute offers some deep dive courses to be able to do this. Some of the others are broader range. So the idea is that you come in with not only a fundamental appreciation of it, because some people still don't understand this as far as why it's important, but they have some appreciation of what they need to look into. And there, again, you can enter in with some level, and there's varying levels that people come in with skill sets that they're looking for now as far as credentials to enter into an interview process.
When you talk about the software and then you talk about the critical skill sets, but what about the critical infrastructure? What can you tell us about that?
Well, critical infrastructure is what everybody relies on. Obviously, everything that we know from power plants and power generation, telecommunications, banking, everything that we do in modern society relies on critical infrastructure that has this IT or cyber portion of it. And in fact, software runs our economy today. It runs our businesses. And a lot of people don't care about software necessarily until things go wrong, and they say, what is going wrong? And that's why, and you hear a lot about zero-day attacks, and there's things out about SCADA and process control systems. Again, these are all software.
We are speaking with Joe Jarzombek, the Director of Software Assurance for Global Cybersecurity Management of the National Cybersecurity Division at Homeland Security. And besides the book learning and the course learning and the online learning, there must be some intuition that people need to develop over time to become good cyber professionals. Is that something that only experience can give?
Well, certainly it helps, but people should come in with an appreciation of the fact that their systems will be attacked. And so thinking about that from a misuse or abuse perspective, as I design my systems, build my systems, or just deploy software, some people say, well, my software is not that critical. It gets incorporated so that if their software gets attacked, then it can actually have a flow through the rest of the systems that we have. There's even other conferences that are going on that actually focus just on that hacker mentality. There's many of those that go on around the United States as well.
So in other words, to be a good cyber professional on the good side, you have to be able to think like the bad guys.
Yes, you do. You have to fundamentally understand that, because you can't defend against things you don't know about.
And when hiring someone that used to be, say, of the black hats, you know, a bad hacker, and there are examples of people switching and becoming great corporate consultants and so on in cybersecurity. How do you know that you can trust them, even though they say, I'm coming into the light?
Yeah, well, that's a hiring decision. People get background checks. And so your question is, are they going to be hired by the federal government? That's a different hiring process. So I don't have a clean answer for that one.
All right. Well,
fair enough.
Fair enough. So anyway, getting back to the conference, how many people are you expecting, and what do you expect them to take away from the conference?
Well, they're going to have thousands of people at the conferences, but there's a lot of things for people to choose from. And what I really like about this particular conference is that it is linking the physical security aspects with the cybersecurity aspects. And so it's really showing people why these really play together. And one of the things that we're going to be focusing on, excuse me, is the fact that we need to be able to automate that. So we open up with sessions that deal with little nuances of things such as the common weakness enumeration, how we look at weaknesses, but how we can actually automate that so that people focus on what's important to them, what tools are available to them. The tools in this area for static code analysis, the dynamic code analysis, even the services that are associated with it, have matured greatly over the last 3 years. And we want to be able to help people understand that these are available to them, and you have to come in armed with knowledge of how to use them, but the point is you have things that help you become much more productive in this space. And it ranges all the way from development all the way to incident response. And that's what I think is key, is it's the whole life cycle, because we're trying to inform development based on our operational experiences, but now we're bringing to the operational community automation that we can better link the life cycle.
It's evolved so much in just the past couple of years. Where do you see it going from here, how this is managed and handled, and this whole turnkey operation to ensure cybersecurity throughout the nation?
Well, I see it evolving to the point that people just expect this as a normal part of business. The idea that says security is hard, you need to throw that out, because security is hard because we've been thinking of it's an afterthought. It's been attempted to bolt it on. And when you do that, you really do create layers and layers that make it difficult to do it. But if you actually build security in, you actually design the systems, that they're more resilient. Any organization that thinks about that actually is more flexible and adaptive, because you have built your infrastructure upon these resilient components.